Now it is a great privilege to open the Word of God with you, but also a great responsibility. So we do trust God will give the needed help and clarity. Turn, if you will, with me to Isaiah and chapter number 40. The prophecy of Isaiah, almost going to say the gospel of Isaiah, chapter 40, and commencing together at verse number 9. Isaiah 40, verse number 9, O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the city of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, shall gently lead those that are with young. Turn to the end of the chapter, if you will. Very familiar. Verse number 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew, or exchange, really is the idea, exchange their strength for his, shall renew their strength, mount up with wings as eagles, run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to all of us this evening. Isaiah 40 is one of those great mountain peak chapters of the Word of God. It presents to us the majesty of the sovereign. And side by side, it brings in the ministry of the shepherd in all his goodness and gentleness. I'd like to just look at this chapter for a few moments and consider some of the things in it for our profit and our help. Far more in this chapter than time or ability would allow. But nevertheless, let me just mention a few things. There are many different ways of dividing the prophecy of Isaiah, but very simply, this opens the third and final section. The first section, the first 35 chapters, are mainly prophetic. The pronouncements of a righteous God against the nation and against the nations. Then from chapter 36 through chapter 39, it turns to a historic section and tells us there the power of a resourceful God, as the story of Hezekiah is unfolded to us again here in that section as well. When we come to chapter number 40, we move then to the promise of a redeeming God in what is called the messianic section of Isaiah's writings. You all know, of course, that Isaiah brings the Lord Jesus before us in many different ways. He's seen as the Son in chapter 9. He is the servant, of course, in the four servant songs that occupy the final chapters. He is as well the sovereign who is going to reign one day. Of course, we know him as the sufferer. We know him as well as the scholar of chapter 50, whose ear was open to learn as the learned one. And finally, we see him as the shepherd here in chapter number 40. Just very quickly, the coming of the Lord in glory. Of course, this refers primarily to his coming in the future for the nation of Israel. But let me just apply a few things here. The herald of and his message, behold your God. His hand with all of its abundance and his heart is what we really want to look at tonight. And look at the shepherd ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Four things are mentioned. Feeding, gathering, cherishing, and guiding. That is his ministry at this conference. He is here, and his goal is feeding. His goal is gathering, cherishing, and guiding. The problem is he works through servants. He works through human vessels. And so the responsibility and the burden is upon those that occupy the platform to be able to transmit this tremendous ministry the Lord Jesus is ready to give. He is able. He's full. There's no lack with him. The deficiency lies with, number one, those who serve as conduits for his ministry, and number two, the willingness of the hearers to take in the Word of God. So let me begin by speaking to you about feeding, the Lord Jesus and his feeding. I'm going to address myself primarily to younger believers. Have you come hungry to this conference? Hungry. Do you really want to hear the Word of God? Now, there's nothing wrong with coming to a conference for the sake of fellowship. That's wonderful. Tremendous to have your fellowship among the believers. You may have come for the enjoyment of the sports and pizza with pepperoni, I'm not sure. Midwest pizza, no way. I mean, forget that. But it gets even worse when you get to Arizona. That's another story. But if you come hungry, because he is willing to feed, He will feed his flock like a shepherd. Interesting that every place in the New Testament you have instructions to shepherds, the very first thing that's mentioned is feed. Whether it's to Peter in John 21, whether it's to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, whether it's Peter referring to the shepherds that he was writing to in 1 Peter chapter 5, the first thing he emphasizes is feed the flock. So the Lord Jesus in his great desire for his people is first of all to feed you. So how hungry have you come? Have you really come to learn of God, to learn of Christ? Have you really come to be, have your soul fed? Or is that secondary? Again, lovely to come to be with your friends, lovely to have fellowship together, lovely to enjoy all the weekend provides. But his goal is feeding the flock. Of course, he expects us to be able to give seasonal ministry, words in season, words that will meet your need. He expects us to be able to give abundantly from this book that we have before us, which is so full. You remember, again, that it tells us that no father will give a stone when he's asked for bread. No father will give a serpent when he's asked for fish. No father will give a scorpion when he's asked for an egg. So he's here to give bread, fish, egg, different kinds of ministry. Bread is the very staple, the very basic, the simplest of things. There are believers here that need bread to eat. Then there are those who need fish, something a little deeper. And then there is always those who like that which can be developed, that which takes time to develop and to really produce something really good. Hopefully this conference will provide all of that. The very basics of bread, the deeper things of fish, and then the egg that needs to be waited upon and developed with time. That's what God intends to provide for you. The shepherd provides that kind of food, that kind of ministry, that kind of blessing for you. There are many things that spoil appetites. We were just reading at our own home assembly in our Bible reading, 1 Peter chapter 2, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And he begins that exhortation with five things that can spoil appetites. Putting away all malice, guile, envy, hypocrisies, evil speaking, all of that that can so taint and so take our appetites away from the word of God. And then, of course, we're all guilty. Our phones, our devices that we get so occupied with and so enraptured with. All of that can spoil our appetites for the clear, simple, wonderful word of God that he wants to feed us with, even at this conference. He's going to feed us abundantly, feed us mercifully, feed us fully with all we need. But then there's also a gathering ministry. A gathering ministry. He shall gather, tells us here in verse number 11, gather the lambs with his arms. That gathering involves, first of all, a gathering to himself. Fellowship with Christ. A number of our brethren have mentioned this already in prayer at the outset. Closer walk with Christ. Likeness to Christ. Love for Christ. Loyalty to Christ. Learning of Christ, all of that, he wants to gather. How valuable is it to you to know fellowship with Christ day by day in life? How important is it? Is it an option? Is it something that would be nice if you're really, you know, it's only for those really spiritual Christians, those super saints? Do you realize he died upon a cross so that he could have fellowship with you day by day? He gathers the lambs with his arms. But then as well, not only does he gather the lambs with his arms, but he brings us together. One of our brethren mentioned in prayer that that's the reason we're here, because of what Christ has done. That's the only thing. I mean, so disparate in our lifestyle, so different parts of the country we come from, different levels of education, different levels of economics, different socioeconomic backgrounds, all of that, different ethnic backgrounds. You'd never find us all together apart from Calvary and Christ, would you? He gathers us together. Maybe there's some here and you've been baptized and you wonder, should I really come into assembly fellowship? He's here to gather you. Some young Christians have a wrong idea. Could I just dispel it? That when you get saved, you've got to clean up your act a bit. When you get baptized, you've got to clean it up a bit more. But to come into assembly fellowship, you've really got to raise the standard a bit more higher. You know, you've really got to... God has only one standard for all believers from the moment of conversion on. Be holy, for I am holy. God does not have two standards for believers out of the assembly and in the assembly. God wants to see you gather to his name. Wants to see you linked with the people of God. Wants to see you bearing testimony for him in a collective capacity. He gathers the lambs with his arms. So the ministry this weekend should draw you to Christ. If it doesn't, we failed miserably. If we just give cold doctrine, cold exhortations, and fail to draw you to Christ, we have failed miserably in our ministry and come far short of what the Word of God would tell us of the gathering ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the purposes of the Lord Jesus in resurrection, especially, I think Luke especially deals with this. Luke tells us that, you recall, he's gathering them back to Jerusalem. The two are leaving, walking on the Emmaus Road, and they're heading. He wants them back in Jerusalem. He wants them back with the believers. And he's gathering, whether it's Peter, Mary, whoever it may be, that they're being brought together again. He's gathering his own. You recall that, smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. But then in resurrection, he draws them again. He's gathering people together. So the brethren who will occupy the platform and be giving ministry will be concerned with linking you more and more with Christ in your life and linking you more with the people of God and the assembly of God together. He gathers the lamb with his arms. Then not only a feeding ministry and a gathering ministry, but a cherishing ministry. We read there, he'll carry them in his bosom. It is lovely to think. Remember in John chapter 1, the only begotten Son who was in the bosom of the Father, he dwells eternally in the bosom of the Father, the place of affection, place of intimacy, the place of nearness. Come to chapter 13, and there's a man called John who's dwelling in his bosom. So the one who dwelt eternally in the bosom of the Father, now he is now available for believers to dwell in his bosom, to know something of his nearness, being cherished by him day by day in life. He is a prophet, priest, and king. When you think of the king, you think of someone who has a right to control my will. When you think of someone who is a prophet, you think of someone who enlightens my mind. When you think of the priest, he's someone who deals with my feelings, my emotions, with all of his compassion. We will be moving in and out among many believers this weekend. Lovely to see the hall so filled right now, likely even a larger crowd tomorrow. There will be those who move in and out amongst us with smiling faces, with normal countenances, and they're carrying heavy burdens, trials, grief, difficulties, circumstances that they perhaps never divulge to others. There is a high priest, a shepherd, who cares, who is here to provide compassion, to provide ministry, to comfort and give solace amidst all of life's difficulties, burdens, discouragements, grief, heartaches, all of that. Yet he's competent and able. Three statements mark the epistle to the Hebrews. He is able to succor. He is able to sympathize. He is able to save. So at times he saves from the circumstances. When he doesn't, he always sympathizes with us in the circumstances. And he always succors us amidst the circumstances. He's our great high priest. He's here available to give ministry that is compassionate and caring for the people of God. So he feeds, he gathers, he cherishes, and then he guides. Reminded of that at the end of that verse, gently lead those that are with young. His skill, his wisdom. One of the men of the 1800s said, life can only be understood looking back, but it has to be lived forwards. You'll only understand life as you look back and you see the way he has led. The doors he closed, the doors he opened, and you thought they were just circumstances, but he's guided so skillfully. To those who are willing to just leave life in his hands. He is the one who is here to guide. His skill. He gently leads. We're not looking now at food. We're not looking now at the fellowship or our feelings. Looking at our feet. He wants to guide our feet into the way of peace. He wants to guide. Anyone come to this conference looking for guidance from God about some major decision in life? A career, a university, a place to live, a spouse, whatever it may be, a life work, a burden for the work of the Lord? He is able to guide. He is able to give direction. He is willing to and able to. If you've come looking for guidance, as long as you're obedient, He will guide. As long as you're willing to bow your will to His, He will guide. He will guarantee guidance for you. Are you willing to be redirected? Willing to be corrected? If the ministry should touch something in your life, something that seems contrary to the Word of God and is clear and unmistakable, willing to rethink, repent, change? Conferences should accomplish that as well. Should bring about change in our lives. Recognition of areas of weakness, failure, shortcoming. He is willing to guide our feet into the way of peace. He guides through His Word. He guides through His Spirit. He guides through circumstances. All of that is possible. I cannot leave this chapter, though, without just mentioning one or two other things. We didn't read it. Time doesn't permit. This chapter tells us about the one who is never weary. A God who is never weary. It tells us about a God who holds the water in the hollow of His hand. It tells us about a God who sits on the circle of the earth. It tells us of God of whom the nations are like a drop of a bucket and the inhabitants like grasshoppers. That He knows the names of the stars. Yet, I come to a chapter in the New Testament, and it's John chapter 4. And the one who is never weary, he's weary with his journey. The one who sits on the circle of the earth, he sat on Jacob's well. The one who holds the water in the hollow of his hands, he asks a woman for a drink of water. The one in whom the inhabitants of the earth are like grasshoppers, he cares for a Samaritan woman that even the neighbors ostracized. And on it goes. You can find many, many other links with John chapter 4 from this tremendous chapter of Isaiah chapter 40. But let me come to the end of the chapter in the final few moments if I can. Mention the feeding of the people of God, the fellowship that he facilitates and encourages, the feelings of the people of God that he has a care for, the feet that he wants to guide into the way of peace. And he comes to the end of the chapter. In between, there is the lament of Jacob, likely in captivity, and God has forgotten me. My way is hid from God, and it's all hopeless. How does the chapter end? Tremendous encouragement. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, exchange their strength, mount up as wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Lovely things. What does it all mean? How do we apply that to ourselves? Eagles rise above earthly burdens, circumstances, cares. They will rise up with wings as eagles, soaring, soaring above, breaking free from. Maybe there's someone who's come here and you are stuck in the paralysis of the past. Failure in the past makes you think it's hopeless. I can't be any use for God. I'll just kind of go along as an average Christian. Nothing special. I can't. Could I just tell you from this book, this shepherd, he's able to make you rise above the past. No one needs to be paralyzed by their past. Yes, it can limit in some ways, but God is able to take up and use an individual at any moment in time if they're willing to commit themselves to Him. Rising up, soaring above the past, soaring above life's circumstances, soaring above life's failures, life's difficulties. I don't know your circumstances. They may be very difficult ones. As I come to the Word of God, I find that despite circumstances, every individual can live for God and please God and know God and work for God and be useful for God as long as there's a willing heart. Never allow circumstances of the past to limit you. Rising up above everything, breaking free. What about running and not being weary? Running always has the idea of service, doesn't it? Run and tell. You could leave this conference exercise to serve in fresh and new ways. Life is not all about material gain. Life is not all about having fun. Now, I know I sound like a cranky old man. Remember, the goal God has for your life is not happiness, it's holiness. It's not fun, it's fruitfulness. Now, if you can have fun in the meantime and you can be happy, fine, but get the goals right. It's amazing that when first things are first, secondary things become even better. So if you get your priorities right, everything else falls in line. Everything else becomes even better and more valuable. So running and up, being able to serve God in fresh ways, walking and not fainting. Of course, when you think of walking, you think of Abraham. Walk before me and be thou perfect. A man in his testimony for God. I think we all need strength in a very negative, skeptical, secular world in which we live. We need fresh strength to walk in our testimony for God. So while what I have been stressing is the responsibility of those who are here ministering to you, you have a responsibility as well to the Word of God as it's ministered. Have you come hungry for the Word of God? Have you come willing to be guided by the Word of God? Have you come willing as well with your burdens to allow God to speak and help? Have you come willing to be gathered more and more and know more and more of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. If we could all leave the conference enjoying that, doing that, experiencing that, everything spent, time, effort, energy on the part of the assembly would be an investment yielding bountiful dividends. Shall we pray? Our Father, we bow together in thy presence. We thank thee once again for thy word. Thank thee once again for the fullness, the abundance of it to speak to every need of our hearts. And bless thee again for thy kindness to us in giving us this inspired book in our hands and our own language. How fortunate we are, how valuable it is to us. Help us to become more and more those who are in love with the Word of God as well as in love with the person of whom it is revealed to our souls. We look to thee now for the weekend as it unfolds. We've been reminded of weather and potential difficulties. We commend to thee the people of God traveling and the effect this might have upon the conference and the gatherings. Remember all these things. Remember as well each of the needs of individuals. There are people here, Lord, who have come with burdens and cares and concerns and exercise. We pray that the fullness of thy word will meet every need and thou wilt bless thy people richly. Again, the gospel we commend back to thee for safe, for blessing and for salvation, and look to thee for the weekend as it lies before us. Receive our thanks again as we return thanks to thee for thy son, for the great salvation he has provided, for the richness of our inheritance and the richness of the blessings we have in Christ. We thank thee the ages to come will unfold the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness to us. So receive our thanks together as we give it to thee in his own worthy and precious name. Amen. Amen.